White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Garden.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. Typhoid started to assume the proportions of an epidemic. There was still no water in the camp, and we were working day and night duty, doing our best for the people who were ill under the worst possible conditions. Birthdays were coming thick and fast, my father's and Iole's on the same day, and we gave Iole a mahjong party, and she kept getting little gifts of flowers all day long. There wasn't very much time to celebrate properly, as we were madly digging holes in the jungle alongside us to empty improvised bedpans. There was no other way in which we could avoid spreading the infection.
Dig a few holes in preparation.
Right, Blanche. There are another four down with typhoid this morning. Two of the Dutch kids and a couple of English people.
I hope we last the distance. Poor Dr. McDowell would have her work cut out if we have to give up nursing. Ah, there's that one.
Oh, poor souls. It's agonizing to see them in this shocking heat with no water. If only it had rained.
It'll rain tomorrow.
Why?
It's my birthday, and it always rains on my birthday.
How old are you, Blanche?
I'm not telling. Anyway, I'm not counting the two birthdays I've had as prisoner, so I'm 2 years younger than I really am.
How old's that?
Never you mind.
Blanche, I've come to take over Operation Digging. Dr. McDowell says you ought to take a break.
Thanks, Woody. See you later, kids.
Bye.
Bye. Do you know it was Blanche's birthday tomorrow, Woody?
Yes. I thought we could get some fruit from Go Leng and make a fruit salad tea party for her. Oh, and I've got a present for her.
Oh, what is it?
I've made a Balinese dancing girl doll.
Well, good gracious, what are doll?
Bits and pieces. Hey, listen, Jeff, I've been thinking. Wouldn't it be a good idea to put all the odd books that are about the camp into a sort of communal library?
Well, if we could work it, it would be much better.
I don't see why we can't work it. It would come to about one book to three people, which is much better than a few having the lot. Anyway, think about it and we'll have a talk to the others.
We did organize the library, and it's much better than before. Some rather good books have come to light. More Dutch people have arrived, two women and five more children, plus all their belongings. The children had knapsacks tied all over them. One was made from a flour bag which had Made in Australia printed on it. So near and yet so far from home. We've been here for 13 months, and if somebody would send a plane, we could all be in Darwin in a day's time, safe and sound before anything more could happen to us. As, for instance, the other day when I found Blanche Hempstead in the house.
Shorty, you haven't got any scraps of paper hidden anywhere, have you?
Not a bit. Why, Jeff?
I'm running out of paper for my diary, and I... What's that?
What?
Listen.
Oh, it's someone in the kitchen, groaning or something. I'll have a look.
Sounds like Toby. Suffering cats!
What is it?
It's Blanche Hempstead. Hey, steady. What's the matter?
I've just been given a smart going over by one of our charming Jap guards.
What for?
Oh, it was my own fault.
What did he hit you with? Your face looks terrible.
Usual golf swings. When the swine knocked me down, he put the boot in.
I've got a little water saved. I'll get it to bed.
Whatever happened?
It was my own fault, I tell you. I was walking past the guard's shelter. I'd been digging holes. I had to have a rest, and there was no one in it. So I went in to have a sticky peek. Gosh, it's so hot. I have to have a spill. I just can't dig another hole. There's no one in the guard shelter. I'll sit in the shade a bit. Seems to be empty. I wonder if they sent out POW cards or if they're still sitting on the table in there. They'll be apart. I could duck in and have a quick look. Now, Hempstead, my girl, you should mind your own business. Oh, but it is my business. No sign of anything here. Oh, look! Cigarettes! I wonder if they'd miss a couple. Come to that, I wonder if they'd miss the packet. There aren't any few in it. Gosh, I'd love a cigarette, a real one. I'll risk it.
What are you doing there?
Nothing.
You have no right in here, Ostrari. Show me your hands.
All right. I was looking at these cigarettes.
You're saving Ostrari pig!
No, these are American cigarettes. They're probably in Red Cross parcels meant for us. You pinched them in the first place.
Want to eat in the desk? Come on in! Come on, straight there, you Ostrari Jim Buddha!
Good shouting at me like that. I can't understand a word you're saying.
Perhaps you understand this and this. This will teach you to see from your betters, you Utawa. On the mean hand to shit. Bakanamiushi. Natawa Petuka side desk. Tate! Tate! Get up! Get on your feet, you overspent swine!
Overspent, that's good.
Get up! Got it! Got it! Got it!
Stop kicking me, you great oaf! Stop it! Stop it!
We'll teach you a lesson! Now, get up!
Here is cigarettes back.
Keep them.
What?
Keep them. You took them. They are yours. You have been punished.
So I staggered back here to lick my wounds.
Ooh, they were certainly a dear packet of cigarettes.
You're telling me.
Well, that's about the best I can do for you, Steady.
Oh, my, you're going to have a wonderful black eye.
Thanks, Jeff. That feels good. Well, let's have a cigarette.
Oh, baby.
First of April, 1943. It's a year ago today since we were all made to be ready to move in half an hour and thought we were on our way to Singapore. We were told to shelter in this house for a few hours. We're still sheltering. Have they forgotten to come for us? We haven't given up hope yet, but if we're still here next April Fool's Day, we won't be worth saving. We're growing into very snitchy beings. We've started having air raid practice. This sounds hopeful. The ARP wardens are Javanese boys of about 18 who dash about the camp with sticks 6 feet long, herding everybody into two houses.
Oh, sister, Jeff, is this no terrible? Oh, there's no room to breathe.
I think I'd rather be outside and take my chance if it's a real raid, Eva. Wouldn't you, Mrs. Brookhouse?
Oh, I think that one is more liable to die in here from suffocation. than to be hit by bomb.
How are you getting on with the new people, Mrs. Brookhouse? Weren't they put in with you?
Yes, Sister Blanche. Oh, somehow we find room. The mother, she's only young. She tells me fantastic story. I cannot understand how she has money until she tells me how she bring it into camp.
Oh, will she tell us? We could do with some money.
I will tell you, Sister Shorty. She did not know how to get it in without the Japs finding out. So she makes a rag dolly for her little daughter and stuffs into it hundreds of paper guilders. She only tells the child to look after the doll as it was her very own and not to allow anyone to touch it.
But it's a wonder the Japs didn't take it from her.
Oh, for 3 days while they were journeying into this camp, not once did the little girl let the doll be taken from her arms.
Did she know the money was in it?
No, she just knew very important not to let go. Oh, but sister, steady. What has happened to your face?
Oh, it's better now, Mrs. Brookhouse. I got caught taking some cigarettes from the guardhouse.
Oh, and they did that to your face for such a little thing.
It was worth it. Those cigarettes were beautiful. We rationed them out and they lasted for days.
Oh, will you look at that poor soul jammed over there? Try to hold that kitty up in the air.
Yeah, two or three have fainted over there. They're just being held up by the crowd.
If we're here much longer, I'll faint. Oh, gee, it's stifling.
Sometimes I feel if I don't get one lung full of really fresh air, I'll die.
Oh, if only they would turn the water on again. It would make so much easier. But it seems such a long way to carry water from the guardhouse for cooking, the bathroom, washing, and even for the toilet.
The only time we get even moderately clean is when it rains. It doesn't look as if it's ever going to rain again.
For heaven's sake, how much longer are they going to keep us in here? Some of these people can hardly stand with weakness.
It's a sure way of spreading typhoid and malaria.
Do you think the Japanese care about that, Sister Stacy? They would not care to see us all die. They could stop this outbreak by a few medical supplies. Could they not?
They could certainly help to hold it and ease the suffering if they could give us something to work with.
When the all clear sounded, one was nearly stampeded in the rush to get out of the overpowering atmosphere of unwashed humanity and illness. If help doesn't come soon, I'm really afraid of what is going to happen to us. There's still no water in the camp, and we're only allowed to go out and get it from the guardhouse outside the entrance when the guard gives us permission. He waits until we're nearly too weak from thirst to be able to carry the water back. We had an addition to our house. Dot Freeman and Reen Singleton decided to build themselves a flat. It's literally hacked out of the jungle alongside it.
I think we could build it, Reen. Look, we could get enough bits of timber from the dump and the wood heap and all round the camp, and then we could use palm leaves as the roof.
And it wouldn't be very weatherproof.
No, but it'd be cooler than the house. And if it rains too heavily, we could always go back with the others.
Hello, Dot.
Hello, Isle.
Hello, Reen.
Hello.
Oh, what are you two chatting about?
Well, we're going to build a flat, Isle. Well, oh, that'll be nice. What are you thinking of? Two-bedroom, lounge, kitchen, hot and cold running housemaids, wall-to-wall sewing pits, and all-electric stainless steel kitchen with a nice blue refrigerator to keep the roast sucking clean and salads nice and fresh.
Shut up, Iola. You're making my mouth water.
Actually, we think we could hack it out of the jungle alongside us, and then we could sort of attach it to the trees, and they'd help to make the roof, you see.
Well, I think it's a jolly good idea.
Jeff! Hey, Jeff!
Yes?
Come in and hear what Dot and Reen are going to do.
What about?
We're going to make a flat alongside the house.
Well, what a jolly good idea.
Well, we were just planning it.
Well, do you want a hand with the building?
Oh, yes.
Well, I'll help too. I rather fancy myself as an architect.
Uh-huh. Well, where exactly are you going to build it?
Come outside. We'll show you.
We thought about here.
A bit narrow there, isn't it?
There's nothing we can do about that, Jeff. See, there's the barbed wire barrier.
Now, I wonder...
Oh, watch it. There's something stirring in the great brain. What are you cooking up, Jeff?
Unless she's thinking of moving the barbed wire or the house, there's nothing we can do.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's just what I was thinking of doing.
What? Yes? Moving the house?
No, moving the barbed wire.
Oh, Jeff, we couldn't.
Yes, we could. Just a few feet. It'd make all the difference.
We could get some stakes and sort of lever it up. Look, it's quite loose here.
Well, I'm game if you are.
What about you, Doc? Well, I don't suppose anything terrible could happen. We could only be hauled over the coals, and it's 10 to 1. The Nips will never notice.
Come on, let's get to work.
The flat was a great success. Dot found a table and an old sink in the cemetery with which they furnished the place, and now every Thursday, 7 of us gather there and have what we call a discussion group. 5 Australians and 2 Dutch girls. One of the Dutch lasses, Helen Collin, has been working overtime as she can get to the Dutch literature in the camp, and she translates it for us. They tell us about Holland, the Netherlands East Indies, and we tell them about Australia. We have geography, general knowledge quizzes, and long discussions on anything we don't agree on. This is all to keep our brains from rusting, and it really has a good effect on us. We've been having axe trouble lately. The poor thing is so old and blunt that it's nearly impossible to cut the great tree trunks that the Japs bring in for us as firewood.
Oh, look at them. Wouldn't you think that they could put it by one of the wood heaps instead of dumping it all there for us to sort out?
Oh, I don't mind sorting it out. In fact, I don't mind much what I do. Gives you something to think about.
Huh. I've only got to look at that load of logs to have an aching back to think about.
Oh, Jeff, look at it.
Yes. Burnt black as your hat, and look at the length of it. It's like the mast of ships. And that one poor little axe to chop it all up.
Well, if we don't stop looking at it and get on with it, it'll never be sorted out into the wood heaps.
Yeah. Oh, at last. We were getting a bit light.
Oh, hello, Jess. Is it your turn on the axe?
Yes, Iole.
They used to call me Jess Doyle, the champion woodchop.
Really?
Oh, my dear, I've never used an axe before in my life until I came here. But I'm learning.
Let her go. Well, anyway, be careful of that axe. Mickey Sire was chopping away like mad the other day, and the head flew off and cut a leg open.
Oh. Well, it's flown off a few times when I've been using it. So far, I've been lucky.
Oh, come on, Jeff. We'd better get stuck into it, I suppose.
Coming. See you later, Jess. See if you can pick out some soft stuff for me. Hello, Dot. Where are you off to?
I've just finished cleaning the drains. I was looking for a bit of shade to have a rest in.
Have you got it, Jeff?
Oh, hang on. I am slipping.
Well, I don't think it makes much difference if you're in the shade or out of it.
Got it.
Still hotter than Hades.
Ouch! Oh, I've got to spin that.
Violi, if you drop that on my foot, I will pick it up and brain you with it.
What are you doing waving the axe about, Jess?
I commandeered it while I was free. We badly need some firewood, and there's a queue waiting to be cut.
Yes.
Look over there.
You know, I hate chopping wood. I'm always terrified I'm going to lose a foot or something.
Well, I must say it would be easier if the Japs would give us another couple of axes.
Look, I must go and have a rest. I'm absolutely done.
Oh, go on, old thing. Look, why don't you lie down in the house?
It's so hot in there. And you never get any peace. Oh, well, see you later. Oh, there. Oh, that's the last bit. Well, I think we're pretty good lumberjacks, Jeff.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, you too.
Let's sit here and watch the others work for a while.
Right.
Oh, it's good in the shade.
You kids. Picked out the hardest, most burn-out horrors.
Oh.
Of tree trunks. Oh, it won't speak at all. Full of knots.
Yes, poor thing. You keep right on, Jess. You're doing a very good job.
That is a knotty-looking bit. You started on the bit that looked like a mast.
Oh, it's just as tough. It's teak or Oregon or something.
Can you reach that grass?
Yeah.
Oh, give me a bit to swipe the flies.
Oh, God curse you.
Poor old Jess. It doesn't matter much which side of the axe you use. The cutting bit's as blunt as the back of it.
Oh, you brute. This darn stop's so springy.
Try standing on it like they do at the show.
I tried that. Doesn't seem to work. I'll get it this time.
Oh, good Lord. Quick, the axe head's flown off.
We'll hit her on the head.
Jess! Jess, are you all right? Oh, she's out like a light.
He's taken her out a bit.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at her head.
Oh, help, it's laid her scalp open. Ioli, nip over and get a couple of the others. We'll have to carry her to the house.
Right.
Dot, Breen, her kids. Come and help quick. Jess has had an accident with the axe.
We got Jess to the house and did what we could for the horrible-looking wound in her head. And waited for her to come round.
Is she conscious yet?
No. These blasted Japs. I'd have to do something about bringing in cut wood. Or providing someone to cut it, or a new axe or something. She might have been killed.
Oh, we've been asking and asking for a new axe. They just don't take any notice.
Oh, she's coming to you.
Hello, old thing. Are you back with us?
Oh. What hit me? The Eiffel Tower?
No, just a Japanese axe.
Oh, yes, I was chopping wood.
Well, next time it might be safer to chew it up.
The father and mother of a headache.
No wonder. I should think you've got concussion.
Oh, well, then I shall lie back for days and waited on it, enjoy it.
Oh, no. We only think you've got concussion. So don't start swinging the lid. And don't start feeling your head.
Oh, dear. It's sliced it open, isn't
it? You stay there and we'll put a mosquito net over you to keep the flies away. Nothing much else we can do for you. Just have to rest.
Oh. What I'd give for a headache powder and a long glass of ice water.
You just lie back under Rule Britannia and we'll run off and get you an ice pack.
Oh, come away, Reen. Oh, God, you're a hard response.
Once more, Mitz and Dr. McDowell went to the Japs and complained about the wood situation. And once more, nothing was done about it. Until a few weeks later.
Girls, have you heard the news?
No, what's happened?
You'll have to listen, kids. This is really a break.
What's happened, Doc?
Oh. Chow. Look, if you can drag yourselves away from Mahjong for a minute, I'll tell you.
Fancy chowing, Ioli. You ought to be ashamed.
Jeff! The men in the jail have asked the Japs if they can cut our wood.
What? Oh, how wonderful, Doc. When do they start?
I think the next load will come in already cut.
Oh, you hear that?
How do you like
we
that?
We won't have to struggle anymore and cut our legs and heads to bits. Oh, what a wonderful break.
It was a tremendous relief to know we didn't have to face the heavy labor of cutting wood, when really we were getting too weak to swing an axe.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend and produced by Phoebe Banvard for Australasian Radio Production.